You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. Saw you a marching with Robert E. Lee. You held your head high, trying to win the victory. You fought for your folks, but you didn't die in vain. Even though you lost, they speak highly of your name. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets open up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, 'cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, took days to count the dead. 'Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
When on his stage, Johnny Horton and... You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way. Reminds me of a quote from Jubal Early that the South didn't lose. They just wore themselves out fighting those nasty Yankees. So anyway, welcome everyone to Rebel Madman Radio here on Rebel. First day with my new lips on RepublicBroadcastingNetwork.org. And, first of all, let me ask everyone who cares about free speech to make sure that you go to this network and make sure whatever it is, if you can make a contribution, it would be most helpful to keep this opportunity for free speech alive. And with that being said, I am joined today by two of my best buds. And we were just kind of reminiscing about a day we sat right here at the table where I am sitting, and we did a couple of hours of radio. Just kind of wish you guys were here with us now. So let's bring my two buds in here. Let's start with the old retired commercial airline pilot, DW. DW, how are you, buddy?
Oh, hey, man. I'm having a great day here in Northeast Alabama. It quit raining. It rained for about 2 weeks, and now we're enjoying some good weather. Pleasure to be here. It's good to have the band back together.
Oh, buddy, is it not? And also, our number one bud from out there on the West Coast, he's a little bit farther than our buddy Cal, who couldn't make it today because that booger's out camping. But we have Mr. Scorpio with us. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Well, Mike, Daryl, I'm doing well. Broadcasting here from the land of fruits and nuts, as they say, but I'm hanging in there. I'm ready to roll with you guys.
Well, we used to say California was the state where the fruits walked the street and the people hung from trees. But anyway, anyway, and we're off. Yes, exactly. So I was thinking about a subject for today, and then I told DW yesterday in our conversation, since when did we need a subject? I mean, you know, it's been a while since the three of us have actually been together, but there are a multitude of subjects. The first one I want to throw out there, guys, is this hilarious story about a Chinese balloon. What have you guys heard on this?
Well, I'll take this first, if Daryl doesn't mind. I was just looking at this thing, and the more I see this, the more this story does not add up. I don't even believe it was a Chinese balloon. I think this is some kind of a psyop here just to rattle the cage of the normies, and I think also to get us used to the idea that the Chinese are surveilling us, and they have secret police stations too. The idea that we shot this balloon down with a missile, frankly, is laughable. You'd think if it really was a Chinese apparatus and technology, they'd want to bring it down gently and study it and see exactly what it was rather than blow it up with a missile. So I there's so many holes in this story, so to speak. I don't even know where to begin, guys.
Well, before we jump to DW on that, the one thing I would like to bring out is that here is something that even back when I was in the belly of this beast, one of the things that was protocol was to bring out some kind of crazy story on Fridays so the news media would be all over it for the weekend, while at the same time the government was pulling off something somewhere else. You know, it's that old, don't look over here, look over there while we do this. So, DW, what do you think about that?
Well, I think the whole story is a lot of hot air. And it's obvious that they're floating a trial balloon out there before us to see how we'll respond to it. And if I was to give it any merit whatsoever, it would be just another example of a sort of lowering the expectations of the population in America of what's really going on. It's confusing. The narrative's confusing, and that serves the main purpose, is to keep everybody confused, because all the armchair generals will speculate, well, is it an EMP? Is it a nuke? Is it a bioweapon? Is it, you know, and this gives the armchair warriors something to blather on about. Well,
are you guys familiar with the fact that the Japanese did this during World War II? They actually armed hot air balloons to float them over the West Coast. Do you guys remember that, or were you aware of it?
Oh yeah,
yes,
yeah. I'd heard that. Yeah, I'd read it.
So it seems, you know, a little bit high tech, don't you think, to put a hot air balloon in the sky and send it over when they have all of these these actual satellites that monitor anything they want to hear that's already up there? Why would you send out a hot air balloon? But, of course, Bubas, with the IQ of a postage stamp, has no problem falling all over this.
Yeah, you know, and Mike, I when I was in the car yesterday, I heard a couple of these idiot so-called conservatives on the radio talk about, well, what if China attached a nuke to this balloon and they're going to set off an EMP in our country and take down the power grid? This is all possible. You know, I mean, just unbelievable stupidity coming from the so-called conservative right now. At least with the liberals, you know that they're your enemy for the most part. These conservatives pretend like they're something else, and they're just completely out to lunch, frankly.
Well, you guys know who Tom Ridge was, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he was the first director of Homeland Security. Do you guys remember why he lost his job?
He told the truth?
Yes.
But do you remember what truth it was he told DW?
No. I was just taking a stab in the dark.
Well, it was a pretty good stab, but he didn't actually, you know, it was kind of funny. He came out on the weekend news, Tom Ridge did, and he was asked by someone, I forgot who it was, but someone on the weekend news asked him about suitcase nukes being brought across our southern border. And he said rather impromptu, oh, yes, we're aware of that. We're tracking three of them now. Well, the next day he resigns. Well, did he spill the beans? Or would that have exploded the myth about leaving the southern border wide open doesn't harm America?
Maybe both. You know, you might get a twofer there. And, wow. Well, I just hope that balloon doesn't impact a high-rise building in New York City, you know. And if it did that, we'd have to invade Guatemala or something, you know. Well, if that was to happen. So.
True. Well, if the Secretary of Defense comes out tomorrow and says something about missing money in the Pentagon, and then the darn thing hits the Pentagon, we know something's up.
Yeah, that's believable. It's about as believable as 9/11 was. Like you said, boobas will buy just about anything. If they see it on TV, it's real.
Well, you know, I saw somebody on Facebook the other day, a rather incredible comment. He said, wow. He said, well, you know, you can't believe anybody on the media. You can't believe any of these communists but Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson always tells the truth.
That's funny. Well, I think Tucker Carlson's a steam valve. He pushes the envelope a little bit farther than other shows do, but he certainly will never go into, what actually happened that day in 9/11? He's never going to go to a certain point. And, of course, you know, his father was high up in the Voice of America as a propagandist, so he's got the tail feathers of a Mockingbird character, in my opinion, but carefully placed as a steam valve. That's what I think his role is.
Yeah, what about his connection with Hunter Biden? You know, he did ask Hunter Biden to write a recommendation so he could get his son into Georgetown.
Yeah, where Tucker Carlson grew up, it was called, he went to school in his middle school years, it was called Hebrew Heights. And in some of his unguarded moments, you can see a red string around his wrist. And that's pretty much inside baseball for I'm a Kabbalist. You know, after Rush Limbaugh left this earth, Tucker's done a pretty good job of co-opting that audience.
He and Sean Hannity.
I have a the really stupid ones listen to Sean, because he's such a patriot. Sean Hannity is, but you know, when you break down what the news is, fundamentally, I refer to it as thoughts for the thoughtless. And it provides their daily pablum of talking points and drivel to get them through to the next day and until the weekend football shows up. So that's about their situational awareness, level of awareness. Is, I think that pretty well covers it, yeah.
Well, I think that's true. And one of the barometers I have told people for decades now is if you want to find out who is telling the truth and who is lying to you, check out their net worth, because let's see, Mark Levin is somewhere around $300 million. Sean Hannity is over $250 million. We're looking at these people like Tucker Carlson and how many millions he is worth. Look at Rachel Maddow and how many millions they are worth. The liars have all the money. That is something people just can't seem to wrap their noodle around. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's undeniable, Mike. And, you know, Daryl mentioned the red Kabbalah bracelet that Tucker has been spotted wearing multiple times. And just a few days ago, Vladimir Putin was spotted at, you know, the Eastern Conference with, you know, the Eastern powers wearing that same exact bracelet. So I found that to be very interesting. There's several photographs of him wearing that just a few days ago.
Wow, what does that mean? Does that mean that Tucker and Putin are going steady now? Did they exchange bracelets?
They're in the same book club.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they may even have lunch together occasionally. We've kind of hammered the balloon here. Dave, I'm going to lay this one on you, my friend. What do you want to talk about next?
Well, I would really like to get your guys' take on the latest, where you think things are going to be headed. You know, what's the next major big play that we're going to see happening? There's been a lot of talk about, you know, intentionally putting some type of hormone or chemical into the chicken feed so that chickens aren't laying eggs. It sounds right. It fits the agenda. But I'm just curious what you guys both think the next big play is going to be. From where I sit, it seems like they're really going to amp up the climate change agenda because any weather event is proof of climate change. I mean, absolutely. And I think, to me, that represents sort of the biggest power grab in modern history, which is the control of all the world's natural resources under the veneer of saving the planet. So I'm just curious what you guys think, like, over this next year, what will be the big play coming? Because it seems like we're at a little bit of a lull right now.
I agree. DW, your thoughts, buddy?
I think I'll stick with digital currency. I think I'll stick with the economy. There's been several important things publicly announced over the last couple of months. One of them is the petrodollar in Saudi Arabia taking all other currencies for oil. And I suppose the other OPEC, if there is such a thing anymore, will be taking currencies, a basket of currencies for payment. And of course, that is going to pop the bubble or seriously undermine the false prosperity of the U.S. government, Treasury, and the Federal Reserve having the world reserve currency.
Well, and, guys, go ahead, DW. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, as that pressure increases, that economic pressure increases, I think that'll give them the plausible narrative for bringing in a central bank digital currency. This is terrible, but listen, we've got this all figured out, and we're here to help you and solve this problem on your currency. All you have to do is do this, sign up for this, and get this ID, and the government is here to take care of you. So I think that's a real possibility.
Yeah. Well, I would like to raise you one, and in this poker game, and what I think, having actually watched these people work from the inside, I know they plan years in advance. And the one thing that I remember in 2019 was a special investigation by the United States Senate into how they could confiscate the IRAs and 401ks that were here in our country, how they could confiscate those, turn it into a Social Security system to where they would control the money. Well, ironically, IRAs and 401ks in this country now sit at about $30 trillion. You see any significance there, Scorp?
Well, that's interesting. That's kind of matches the federal debt level somewhere, or at least what they claim it is.
Yeah, well, that's, that doesn't count the unfunded mandates for sure. But, yes, I thought that was very unique that right before COVID, the Senate does an investigation on how to incorporate IRAs and 401ks into a system like Social Security. And DW, do you see that matching the digital currency that you just spoke of?
Well, I mean, it could be a part of it. It seems like it would fit together quite well. But, I'm going to use some deductive reasoning here, logic, if you will. And, about 2.5-3 years ago, when they were trying to get the approval of that Supreme Court judge, the one that they were investigating his childhood sexual encounters. What was his name? Remember that? They were. Who was that guy? He's a cleanup man for Clinton back in the 90s. Trying to get him on the Supreme Court.
Kavanaugh.
What was his name? Kavanaugh. Yeah, they were going through the hearings to affirm him, and then this lady shows up and gets this big testimony, and there's all these wild accusations flying all over the place. Well, why am I even talking about him? Well, at the same time, simultaneously, why this is happening, the distraction story was Kavanaugh. What was going on while that was going on is they a joint resolution and a change in the governmental accounting standards known as FASB 56 was going on. And the bottom line of it was that they don't have to tell you what the accounting is anymore, and they can use any accounting measures they want to, and they don't have to tell you what it is. Basically holding themselves unaccountable and not auditable. You couldn't audit them. Government cannot be audited in the General Accounting Office under FASB 56. And so, you know, this happened like 2.5-3 years ago. So what I'm saying here is I see just a number of important but seemingly inconsequential steps towards an overall objective. So that's what I'm seeing, Mike.
Well, DW,
not to mention that the government quit paying, it's defaulted on its interest payments, as far as I can tell.
Well, they made the statement in their, they do produce a spreadsheet once a year because it's required. And in early 2020, they said that the revenue that was collected through the income tax and the other revenue sources would not meet the interest payments on the debt in 2020. And of course, then COVID comes along and nobody remembers. But how would you link that together, Scorp?
Well, yeah, that's interesting. Convenient timing, let's say. But, you know, what I find interesting is that they printed up over $5 trillion in COVID relief. $5 trillion. Think about that. That's crazy. And a lot of that money just disappeared. I don't even know where it went. And they've tracked down some small-time frauds, as they always do. But the real meat of the dinner, let's say, just disappeared. And, I have a question regarding this digital currency. And maybe one of you could answer it. The problem, I mean, Daryl's making some excellent points. And everything he says is absolutely true. But here's the fly in the ointment to me. If they get rid of cash, how do they continue with their nefarious operations and money laundering schemes and businesses, mafia style businesses that need cash to do the transaction? How do they proceed with all that?
DW?
Well, that's a really good question. It would seemingly appear that they're taking away one of their income streams, and so that's a good point, Mike or Dave. What if the technology that we're talking about with cryptocurrency? You have central bank digital currency, but there's other forms of exchange as well. So there's other cryptocurrencies that they could use to replace it. And they might link those other cryptocurrencies to balance of trade or with other activities such as, trading you know, running guns to Iran like Reagan did. I see what you're saying, particularly on the street, from a street point of view, and dealing in the black market of drugs that the government creates. But I don't know if I have a real good answer for that, Dave.
Well, guys, here's one thing I would like for you both to address. And if that actually happens, if the government takes over all IRAs and 401ks in this country, where does that leave the people who held those IRAs and 401ks? Where does that leave them financially, having to deal with the inflation and everything else we're dealing with today?
Well, it leaves them in a complete state of dependency upon the government and how they disperse those funds, or if they will. A complete state of dependency. Yeah.
What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think that's what the goal. But one thing I find really interesting right now is that, you know, whatever you want to call this, you know, parasitical elite, parasitical class that is pulling the strings and working the knobs behind the curtain. I do see them making a lot of mistakes right now, which is interesting. And I think part of it is that they've really, you know, they've degraded humanity in so many different ways that I think they've degraded themselves. And as the, you know, a lot of the old guard from, you know, the David Rockefellers and the old Rothschild guy just died recently. So a new generation of guys are sort of taking the helm, and quite frankly, you know, I don't think they're up for the task. I think there's a lot of mistakes being made, which hopefully is to our advantage. Although, as the more they fail, the more they're going to lash out and do desperate and crazy schemes. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting time to be alive, let's say.
Well, absolutely. I certainly cannot argue that point, Dave. I believe that the, you know, with the IRAs and 401ks, they make everyone completely dependent upon dispensation from the government. And I think that is one of their strategic goals. They don't want anyone to have control of their own lives without government interference or government acknowledgement. And again, I agree with you, Dave, on one point, and I've thought about this for quite a while. They have dumbed down America through the educational system, you know, 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. They have dumbed down the American public to where there are, you know, they're technically illiterate. You know, if you don't believe that, try to go to a fast food restaurant and turn off their computer and try to watch them make change. And in talking with most of the people that we encounter on a day-to-day basis, the level of intelligence in this country is appalling. So this is my point, is they're going to have to use these people that they have created, you know, as cops or military or what have you. They're going to have to use them in their massive plans. So they have created a legion of idiots. So how are they going to be able to manipulate and put into play all of their plans with these people? Ah, here comes the music, guys. We'll be back in just a few. Hit it, Ronnie Van Zant.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Yankee letter said that they'd be coming any day. And if you planned on getting out alive, best be on our way. Our tattered gray was torn between if we should run or fight. But our southern pride swelled up inside, so we dug in for the night. Then I heard a rider calling, they're coming down the road. And the fiery flash of 20-pounders started to explode. Tried our best to stop them, our efforts were in vain. In the distance you could hear the sound of Dixie's last refrain. They're burning Georgia down.
Ah, they're burning Georgia down by the good old Friends from up there in the Appalachian Mountains of western North Carolina. Ah, I miss those guys, miss listening, hearing them sing in person. But here we are, and DW, before we move on any further, I wanted to tell you that our good friends Stacy and Mike have told me that they are traveling today, but they are listening to us as they travel. So I wanted to give a shout out to Stacy and Mike. So now let's move on here with our thoughts and our questions about the current malady that we find ourselves in. Scorpio, what do you see as a first move by this government to completely take over each and every act of every individual in this country?
Well, I think the enormous inflation that we're all dealing with right now is a very important first step because, you know, obviously wages are not keeping up with the rate of inflation. And, of course, the rate of inflation is much, much higher than they're admitting. I'm putting it at about 25%. On some goods, it's as high as 100%, 50%. But I think overall, we're looking at 25% inflation annually right now, and it's only going to get worse. So as I think there's going to come a point where that's going to sort of reach the wall, hit the wall, so to speak, and the average person's pay simply will not be enough to just for subsistence living any longer. And I don't think that day is far off. And then that's when they're going to have to introduce, I believe, the first step will be UBI, Universal Basic Income. They've already floated the trial balloon, so to speak, on that with, you know, the 2016 presidential race, and has come up many times. So I think that that's an important next step.
Oh, I could not agree more. DW, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think Dave makes a really good point there. I think that that is another front on pressuring people into the central bank digital currency. You know, they're not going to just use one frontal attack on the narrative. They're going to have multiple reasons why we have to have the CBDC, which then would enable them, empower them. That would be the bait for tens of, if not hundreds of millions of people to adopt CBDC, is for all the reasons that you guys have mentioned, Dave with the UBI, and Mike, you with the IRAs and 401ks, and then think about all the millions and millions of people who receive SSI payments. They're not going to think through that. They're going to say, I need, with the inflation, with rationing, lack of availability, and all these other financial pressures being managed, being throttled, being governed, they'll be able to apply a significant enough pressure to get consensus amongst the people to adopt it. And of course, the media will play the dog and pony show with a cock and bull story to sell them all the bill of goods, which, you know, I have no reason to believe that they won't, the American people won't accept it under duress, but they had to accept. We didn't have any choice. And also understand that there was recall a little history here from about 8, 10 years ago, a little operation. You haven't heard anybody talk about it in a long time. It was called Operation Jade Helm. Remember that, Mike?
Oh, yeah, Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jade Helm. You remember that? You remember that too, don't you, Dave? Jade Helm?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's gone down the memory hole, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, what was the objective of Operation Jade Helm?
Well, guys, I believe one of the primary moves of Jade Helm was it was designed to hit Texas. And let's not forget that during that same year, we had that massive alleged biker shootout at Twin Peaks in Waco. 178 people were charged in that crime by the local DA, and they were all put in jail. Their motorcycles were confiscated, and each one of them, all of the warrants for all of the 170 some people who were arrested, all of the warrants read exactly the same. There was no deviation in the warrants, and all of them were put under a $1 million bond. Well, now we're 8 years plus into that. There hasn't been a conviction yet. None of those bikers who were arrested have been convicted. Now, one of the crazy things about it is that the local law enforcement and the feds knew that this meeting was coming up. There is all kind of documented evidence to prove that. And they had their SWAT team in place Well, five of the nine bikers killed that day died from wounds to the head from a 223. Now, in a massive shootout, how many people are going to die with shots to the head, gentlemen? That is one of the major... That one just never... I tried to figure out what their idea was behind that, why they produced that, why they went at it. But then to stop and think, the DA there has been charged with graft since then. He's lost his job. But 178 people arrested. Many of their lives were destroyed because they were personal owners of businesses. And the crazy thing about it was is they wanted to hit it with those crazy bikers, those criminal gangs. But yet present at that meeting were the Vietnam Veterans Motorcycle Group, the Christian Motorcycle Group. There were so many others. Do either one of you gentlemen have any idea what the government hoped to accomplish with that?
Well, it's interesting that a 223 is a rifle round, not a pistol round. So that indicates that someone may have been taking shots at a distance in this whole thing and maybe instigated the whole thing that way. That's very interesting. I think the idea is just to tar and feather anyone that leads sort of an independent lifestyle. You know, bikers, you know, there's a lot of bad and good in the biker gangs, you know, but they are highly independent. They do what they want. They live outside the system. I'm not trying to, you know, advocate that they're wonderful people, but they do live outside the system, and they're certainly not going to, not many of them are going to buckle under and do as they're told when the time comes. Quite the opposite, in fact.
Well, one of the things I found, and I attended a wedding 2008, somewhere in that neighborhood, 2009, I attended a wedding in California, and ironically, it was a wedding between rival, if you could call them that, rival biker groups. And, you know, one of them was the Vagos, and the other one, I forgot the name of the other club, but I went to that wedding and the reception and everything that was there. One of the things I found out about bikers is that if you go to almost any biker group in the country, you will find out that the vast majority of members of those biker groups are veterans. So obviously, and then, you know, you had Janet Napolitano, who came out with when she was director of Homeland Security, and she came out with that thing about the domestic terrorists in America are those who believe in the Bible and interpret it, and those who are Second Amendment, those who are anti-abortion. And she included veterans in her first assessment of potential domestic terrorists. Of course, she caught so much flack for it, she removed the veteran status from that a few days later. But here's the point I would like to, and I know it's going to come, and I would like you gentlemen to give me your thoughts on this, but I know it's coming. At some point in time, they're going to pull off something really large in combination with others in order to demand the disarmament of America. What do you gentlemen, do you agree with that, or do you find something wrong with that? DW, you want to lead off?
Yeah, well, it'll be under the Fabian plan. They do it incrementally. In many ways, the American people have already been disarmed because when push comes to shove, they've already been mentally conquered. Their language has been conquered, the precepts have been conquered, and their minds are occupied. Now they might still, you know, have possession of that that equipment, the guns, the rifles, and I have no doubt that there's some people that would actually use them and know how to use them. That's probably a small minority. If you look at the people that were detained, arrested in Operation, if you want to refer to that Operation Jade Helm and associate it with that biker gang setup, well, what happened to all those 175 people now? Well, their life was disorganized. They had a lot of personal consequences. They now have either charged or pending charges, and they're involved with lawyers and the judicial system, and they probably have been prohibited from possessing weapons at this point, all of them. Look at take this the next step further. You have January 6th and all the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are now encumbered and under scrutiny and under charges and are still being detained and serving time in prisons now all over the country. And have they been disarmed? Yes, they have. They now have a paper trail and a record on them. And so, following this pattern of incremental the incremental taking of the right to bear arms, diluting it constantly, then encumbering you inside of with red flag laws, with anything associated with any supposed criminality. The next one will be a blanket wide national security threat assessment, and they will use. That being government, will use a national security threat assessment on a national level to identify people through their digital footprint that present a national threat, and only those people will then be prohibited from having the right to bear arms. So they won't go after everybody all at once, but they will go after a much larger segment. And they will use the digital footprint, digital dossiers, and that's how they will use local law enforcement and the thugs that they've trained and conditioned and indoctrinated, who are simply have proven that simply all that they are capable of doing is taking orders. So that they can use their training and this standing army of law enforcement to implement their plan. That's kind of a rough outline, but I can see it following those pretenses. You know, it doesn't have to be truthful. Okay, it just has to, you know, be a good pretext or something that they can sell, you know, something that Sean Hannity can sell. So, Dave, what do you think about that? That's a hard question, Mike.
Well, it is. And I think you're onto something, Daryl. This is certainly a war of attrition. They're playing the long game on all of these things. And, you know, we see all these shootings. Some of them are phony. Some of them are done with some kind of mind-controlled individuals or just unbalanced people they push over the edge. But either way, it's hard to determine the percentages of that. But once the baby boomer generation dies out and Gen Xers are sort of, you know, on their way out the door over the next 20 years, the millennials and the generations that follow them are already on board with getting rid of gun rights for the most part. And I think, Daryl, you just outlined a good method by which they can do it slowly. You know, the undesirables, the right-wing extremists types will be the first to go. But I think, unfortunately, the younger generations are already on board with this, at least statistically. The majority of them would not have a problem with gun rights being revoked any more than they have a problem with people's freedom of speech being slowly revoked. As Daryl said, their minds are occupied, and it's because of the public school system that has produced these types of individuals. And, you know, Daryl, you mentioned January 6th. You know, I learned an interesting little factoid about January 6th I was not aware of recently, which is that January 6th in the Catholic religion is known as the Three Kings Day. So it's actually a very important day religiously. And I just have trouble believing that that's just a big coincidence that January 6th just happened to fall on Three Kings Day.
When it comes to the government, there are no coincidences, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, as one guy once said, he says, there's a reason why we do things, and then there's the real reason why we do things. Trying to remember who that was.
Hillary.
We came, we saw, we conquered. That was Julius Caesar. Excuse me.
That was Professor Pogo Possum.
Pogo Possum. Right. I was having a conversation this morning with a good friend of mine who took leave of himself here in Alabama a couple years ago and went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. And never went inside the Capitol. He did not go inside. He was at the door. He had his smartphone tracking device with him, and he took a lot of video sticking his hand inside the door, but his body never crossed the threshold. And he had quite a bit of video. And through that... through that video and his cell phone or a smartphone signature, he was identified. He was served. He was arrested. He was tried last fall. And this last Thursday here, on this last Thursday, he went before a federal judge in the district of criminals to the city-state called Washington, D.C., the municipal city-state, and he was sentenced. And his sentence was 1 year behind bars for something called parading.
Being there?
Being there, parading. A misdemeanor, all the while they're early releasing violent criminals, murderers, and pedophiliacs, sexual predators, and there was some commentary by the judge. I'll give you the demographics of it. She was a black female judge.
Color me surprised.
And her comment towards my friend was, the reason I'm giving you a year is because you do not show any remorsefulness. You're not remorseful. So if he had genuflected, kowtowed, pleaded, cried, maybe dyed his hair a different color, had shown real contrition, he probably could have walked away from that with probation.
He should have identified himself as a black judge. Then he could have found himself not guilty.
You know, I think that's a perfect example. So this is on exposition here is a demonstration of equity and justice, and some people are equal and more people, all people are equal, but some people are more equal. And so that's for his lack of a remorse, he got a year. Interesting interesting justice system. Lady Liberty appears to be a whore. So
it's the just us system.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, and Daryl, if I recall correctly, this individual is a business owner, owns his own business. So this would indicate also, you know, pretty rough time in keeping the business running while you're gone for an entire year. It's a devastating effect on these people's lives and meant to destroy and demoralize people. And a lot of these people were charged with illegal parading, which is, as we point out, a misdemeanor. So this whole thing is the ultimate psyop, and you can't deny that either President Trump sure was stupid and got duped, or he was in on it. There's no two ways about it.
Well, I mean, he could have got away with illegal parading if he'd had a butch haircut and an S&M outfit on, and then it would have been okay probably. But you know, you mentioned earlier you used the word elite. And I've just had a problem with that for a long time. It's just an inappropriate use. It's more of a perversion and corruption of language.
Yes.
I refer to them as the predator class, And if we need to be more specific, it's a lot of them are Jews. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Oh, tell me it ain't so.
It's not all of them. They've got a lot of help. But so
useful idiots.
You know. Anyway, my friend said that after he gets back out, he's going to reopen his body shop, and we were having a good laugh over it actually. He says he's going to rename his business Convict Customs, and I told him he didn't have anything to worry about in there with, you know, being molested because he was just too ugly, and we got a good laugh out of that too.
We can probably jump into this in the next hour, guys, but here's think about this as a question: how are they going to play this race war that they have been developing for decades? How are they going to play this black on black crime, black on white crime? How are they going to play this into their finale? So, you know, give that some thought, because that has to be a major instrument. They've worked too hard on it. They've spent too much money on it. This has to be a part. And as our music, guys, we'll be back in just a few here at Republic Broadcasting Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.